Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Periodically, and maybe you have heard it come from my lips before, I use this phrase, especially when we have events going on at the church. And it goes like this. The church doesn't exist without volunteers. There are so many things that happen in the church that just wouldn't exist unless someone was willing to serve. First, we have the Lord's Supper on the altar. I've used this one before, right? How'd it get there? Did the Holy Ghost just all of a sudden zap it onto the altar? No, of course not, right? We have people who manage the things that appear on the altar. Again, a willing volunteer. The bulletins. You guys all have a bulletin today? They don't get made unless there's a willing volunteer. Music? Music in the church doesn't get played unless there is a willing volunteer. The lights? They don't get paid unless somebody writes a check. The water? Well, I don't know what our water bill is. Do we have a water bill? I don't know, do we? I don't know. Either way, the water bill, too, it doesn't get paid unless somebody writes a check. I wasn't sure if we were on a well or not. Good stuff. I learned something, see? But this is the point, right? We have all of this stuff, even this building, right? The building doesn't maintain itself. People have to volunteer. We have Bible class that meets. And guess who teaches Bible class? Volunteers. Over and over again, volunteers run the church. But the truth is, what I want to do is I want to expand this, because it's not just about volunteers. Okay, so it's not that the church doesn't exist without willing volunteers. It's that the church doesn't exist without people. The church doesn't exist without you. Because the truth is that even sitting here in a pew and lifting up your voice and uniting it with everybody else who is sitting next to you, you are doing a good work. You are being the church. And by auxiliary, our Christian fellowship events, and every time we get together as brothers and sisters in Christ, we reinforce our relationship as church. All of this is precisely what we hear about in 1 Corinthians 12, but I won't read the whole thing, just a small portion for you again. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. You are the body of Christ. So whether you're a volunteer, or whether you're just somebody who comes into the divine service, whether you're on the church council or the board of elders, or whether or not you're here in the middle of the week to perform a project, it matters not. The truth is that God has called you to be a part of this church for a reason. Because each and every one of you has different life experiences that maybe will help somebody get through one of their life experiences. Each and every one of you has a personality that might be able to either, you know, lift somebody's spirits when they're going through something rough. Or you might be able to rejoice with somebody who's going through something that they're excited about. The truth is that God has called you all together to be a part of the church. No one is without a purpose. This is the way the church has always operated. It's always been a group of people gathered by the Holy Spirit to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gathered together to uphold one another in those times of rejoicing, and yes, to uphold one another in those times of mourning as well. Because the truth is that we're all traveling through this world that's filled with sin. Our hardships, our pain, all of the things we don't like about the world, they're all far too apparent to us. And so what we do is we come together as church to this safe haven where we get to be Christians together. It's a wonderful gift. And yet, what do we do with the gift? We become discontent with it. Discontent with how the church operates. You know, maybe we look around and we see cliques and divisions amongst the church. Or maybe we look around and we get jealous of one another. Or maybe we start to label people. Well, you know, that guy is unfriendly. That person, they're unapproachable. Or, you know, we'll come into this place and we'll be more than happy to associate with those who are closest to us while we sort of shun all of the people who we don't think fit. Right? That guy there, he's honorable. But all those other people, nah. We say all the worst things about each other behind each other's back. And then probably worst of all is that maybe it's a moment of self-deprecation, but we convince ourselves that the church doesn't need us. That it doesn't matter if I show up. You know what? The church is going to continue without me, even if I'm not there. What if I was going through a really rough time and I needed your encouragement on Sunday morning, but you weren't here to give it? What if I was really excited about something and I was so happy to tell you about it on Sunday morning, but yet you weren't there to be excited with me? What if I arrived at the church at 10:30 and there was no congregation to preach to? We need each other. A pastor needs his people, and the people need their pastor, and the people need each other. God doesn't need our good works, but we need each other's good works. We need to serve one another. This is what the church has always been about. But there's actually a little bit of something else that's very, very important about the church that I've only touched on briefly here. Because the truth is that this is any membership organization, right? In any membership organization, it doesn't matter what it is, you're important, right? You need to be with the other members. And so what makes the church different than, say, you know, going and joining some club or, you know, being a part of another group? What makes the church unique? Well, in our text, Paul describes the church as a body, right? And so the hand helps the head, and the head helps the hands, and the hands, everything works together in a body, right? But we have other parts of Scripture that tell us who the head is. The head of the church is Jesus himself. What makes us church is that we're still standing on the teachings that Jesus gave to his apostles. What makes us the church is that we still get to come into this place and hear his word. And we get to see the glory of God as that word is proclaimed. We get to see the glory of God every time someone is baptized. We see the glory of God every time we feast on the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus comes with his presence here. And what happens if a head and a body are separated? We call that death. A body cannot exist without a head. That's what death is. And so what happens when the church decides it wants to remove things like the readings from Scripture, or remove things like a sermon, or when they turn their ears off, or when we decide it's not important for us to have the Lord's Supper, or when they say baptism, well, that's okay, but it's not really necessary. What are we doing? We're removing Jesus from the church. We're becoming like any other social organization that has ever existed. We're dying. May the Lord protect us from going into that sort of false belief, from that sort of false church. And instead, let's cling to the things that the Lord has given us, because those are the things that make us church. You know, it's no secret to a lot of you that I'm not from here. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't part of the church. I'd probably still be in Detroit somewhere. But this is what God does. He uses the proclamation of Jesus Christ to unite his people into a church. And so we do it. We gather. We sit around this forgiveness and we love to hear it. You are forgiven. Jesus has gone to the cross. He has bled. He has died. He has come back to life. He's done it all for you. He's even given you this great gift that we call the church, where you can come and you can be supported by those around you. You can be supported by the word, and we can all live in this harmonious relationship together. What a gift. What a gift. My friends, Jesus is here today. He's here with his forgiveness. He's here with life. He's here with salvation. And to be honest, he's here to forgive you for all the times that maybe you considered church to be a small thing, of little importance. He's here to tell you that he has died for you, warts and all. You know, you'll notice in 1 Corinthians, you know, as we sort of bring this to an end here, that in 1 Corinthians 12, it never said the church was perfect. It never said that the church would ever be perfect. The church is an imperfect place, and it's filled with imperfect people. But even as imperfect people, you are imperfect people for whom Jesus has died. My friends, that's what makes this a church. And so today, and always, let's set ourselves to serve one another in love, both in times of great joy and times of great sorrow. And let's set ourselves to receive the forgiveness Jesus won through his death and his resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and our church in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.